Raiders fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football, and to do that, we have a guest on the line to kick off the show this morning. We have Mike Conklin of Packerpedia.com going to talk to us a little bit about the Packers and OTAs that took place yesterday in Green Bay. Mike's currently on vacation. He's joining us from the side of the road. Mike, your dedication here is incredible, and I thank you for taking the time to talk to me here this morning.
Absolutely, Brian. My pleasure. There's never a bad time to talk about the Packers.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and I say the same. Now, yesterday at Packers OTAs, Johnny Jolly was absent. Everybody was kind of thinking he was coming back. Johnny Jolly himself took to Twitter and said he'd be back on the 28th of May, and still not there. How long are we going to hold our breath on Johnny Jolly?
I know this is the story that just keeps on being prolonged, and you know, quite a big story about a guy who really is a long shot to make the roster, I would think. But yeah, it just does seem odd that he's still not with the club.
What is the chances that Johnny Jolly makes the team? Is there any chance he makes the team here in 2013?
I think it's firmly somewhere between slim and none. I think it's a real, real slim possibility.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I'll give him a shot. I think everybody would. You sit there and you watch him and see what he's got. But after 3 years away, that's a long time. You know, elsewhere on the defensive line, Mike, B.J. Raji spoke yesterday publicly about his contract status for the first time this offseason after, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews got their extensions. Do you think, is B.J. Raji next in line?
Well, you know, I think that he certainly stands to be one of the next in line. I don't know if it's going to be him or Sam Shields. You know, I know Morgan Burnett's another key player that's going to need to get paid if the Packers are going to keep him. But Raji seems to be confident that the Packers will take care of him, and they have shown that they'll do that for players that are finishing up their rookie contract.
Yeah, he's in that category there, and certainly he's near the top of the list. Whether he's at the very top or not remains to be seen. A guy who practiced yesterday, Andrew Quarles, tight end, coming back from injury, talked yesterday at length for about, a guy who missed all of last year coming back. What do you think about Andrew Quarles and his chances of making the team? Kind of a little bit in the same boat as Johnny Jolly, a guy who missed some time. But what do you think about Andrew Quarles?
Well, I think his chances are actually pretty good, Brian. I kind of remember going back now a whole year because the last offseason he was coming off the injury. And I remember going back and watching some of the locker room interviews during OTAs and even leading up to minicamp, training camp. And Aaron Rodgers, a couple different times, would bring up Andrew Quarles unsolicited. You know, he seemed to have a lot of faith in him. And it sounds like he, you know, showed some good things in OTA. Of course, it's just, you know, they're in shorts. It doesn't mean anything at this point. But I think there's a chance that Quarles could make the roster and even play a role.
Yeah, he has a chance. He's going to have a lot to prove to show back, to show he's overcome his knee surgery and injury from two seasons ago. But do you think he still has the athleticism to be, you know, both a blocker and a catcher?
Well, that's what they liked about him, especially, you know, late in that rookie season. He seemed to be coming into his own, and he showed some of that inline blocking ability that, frankly, some of those other tight ends on the roster don't have. You know, I know they picked up Mulligan, and he's going to play that role if he makes the team. But there's definitely a spot for Corliss if he can, reach out and take that spot. That remains to be seen, but there is a spot for him.
Yeah. On the offensive line, kind of something that's flying under the radar, I think just a little note of it yesterday made that Don Barclay was practicing a little bit at center. And that's something we haven't seen as of yet. He played at right tackle last year, and he's kind of one of those guys who you would think would be in the mix to be the starting right tackle this year now that Brian Bulaga has moved. What do you think about Don Barclay, and is he a center, or is he a right tackle, or where do you see him?
That definitely was an eye-opener when he was out there taking some snaps at center. I just kind of look at this as the Packers like to dress seven offensive linemen, and they like their linemen to be well-versed at the different positions. So I only think this is good for Barclay as he's really trying to cement his role, making the team and being a player on the roster, being one of the first guys off the bench, if he doesn't start at right tackle. But I don't know. I would be more than surprised if he ended up being a center. That would be his main role.
Mike, but before I let you go, let you get back to your vacation here, tell me about your most recent article at Packerpedia.com. I just took a peek at it here before I came on the show this morning. You talk about the safety position in Green Bay and how it kind of reminds you of another position that the Packers were at a season or so ago. Could you tell me about that, and then maybe add who you think will come away with the starting safety position this year in Green Bay?
Well, thanks for asking, Brian. Our most recent post there, it kind of feels a little bit like deja vu in Green Bay these days. You know, we're walking into the safety position that's really wide open with a couple of unproven players with MD Jennings and Jerron McMillan, maybe Sean Richardson, who are all going to be vying for a playing time there. And it kind of harkens back to last offseason, when the Packers really didn't have a whole lot of proven depth at the running back position. You know, they had let Ryan Grant go. They didn't invite him back. They were going into the season with James Starks, who really hadn't been able to stay in the field, and Alex Green coming off an injury. And a lot of people are scratching their heads thinking, why don't they get somebody that they know that they can count on? But the Packers gambled on youth, and they really feel like they can coach youth up, and it seems like they're doing that all over again this year with the safety position. So, you know, it remains to be seen. It almost seems like the gamble didn't work out so well last year. Of course, they had to bring in Cedric Benson during training camp and all that. But, they're going into it. They seem to be saying positive things about these safeties. Morgan Burnett just talked about in the locker room last week about how these safeties are kind of interchangeable. So I kind of wonder really if there will be, you know, one primary guy, whether it's McMillan or Jennings. They might just do, you know, whether they're playing dime or nickel, they might just have a package for each of the guys. But my gut tells me that if there is going to be one guy that plays more, it'll probably be McMillan.
Yeah, I'm in there in the same boat with you, but, Mike, thank you for taking a time here, taking a few moments to speak to us here at Railbird Central. We appreciate it. Enjoy your vacation, and we'll talk again sometime.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
No problem. Take care. Mike Conklin of Packerpedia talking to us here at Cheesehead TV this morning on Railbird Central. So thanks to him for joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here as well as we kind of get back in the swing of things after Memorial Day weekend here. The Packers took a little bit of time off. We took a little bit of time off, kind of recharged the batteries here. A good time to do it as the unofficial start of summer begins. And the Packers kind of going through their off-season workouts. We're in week two of OTAs right now. Next week, we'll have mini camp. And then after that, we'll have one more week of OTAs in early June. And that'll wrap things up till training camp. You get a little bit over a month off where there's not going to be a whole lot going on. But right now, we're in the midst of practice, although it's just in shorts and helmets. But still, practice nonetheless. We're talking about football. And I just kind of wanted to talk about elaborate a little bit on some of the things Mike and I talked about on our interview here. Things that happened yesterday during practice. I think one of the headlines yesterday was Johnny Jolly still being absent. Johnny Jolly not there. You thought all of a sudden, you know, this report comes that he's graduated from this drug rehab program in Houston, where he, you know, makes his off-season home, where he grew up, where he lives in the off-season, where he spent his prison time as well. And, you thought, oh, okay, well, this process, this ordeal is finally over, and Johnny Jolly will be back in Green Bay. But that didn't, you know, that wasn't the case. It just didn't happen like that. Johnny Jolly still not in Green Bay, and the Packers really didn't shed any light on it other than Mike McCarthy saying he's still going through the process. And, you know, I can only assume that means the legal process. And, you know, I think it's a situation where maybe Johnny Jolly still has some obstacles to clear in terms of probation. You know, there might be things about where he can live and the hours he can keep you know, where he can work. And is he under home arrest when he's not, you know, working, things like that. Those might all be some obstacles that, you know, he may have to overcome. And again, this is all just speculation on my part, but it was a little bit odd after, you know, this report, he'd be back. Johnny Jolly said on Twitter he'll be back June 28th. And for all I know, he could be in Green Bay and just not practicing yet. Maybe he has, you know, has to clear some physicals or things like that first with the Packers. Again, all speculation on my part, but, you know, I do this because the Packers aren't saying anything. I just wish the Packers would maybe say, you know, what obstacles he has yet to clear or why he's not practicing. But until we get that, we can we just sit here and speculate a little bit. Elsewhere, going on at Packers OTAs yesterday after the Memorial Day weekend, another thing we didn't talk about with Mike, but you'll see a few articles on it if you read through the Packers blogosphere, the media covering OTAs. There seems to be an emphasis on fumbles this season, on the defense creating fumbles in Green Bay. And this is definitely, I think, a worthy topic to examine, because the Packers last year forced 5 fumbles the whole entire season, and really almost went the first half of the season without forcing any. And they ended up getting a few the final few weeks of the season, but it was amazing. I think they finished like 30 out of 32 teams in the NFL in forced fumbles. That's how poor they were in that department. And you know, it's just not something that the Packers did last year, and even the past few years. You know, it's amazing. They've been fantastic at getting interceptions. You know, they've gotten a fair amount of turnovers because so many come from interceptions, but so few come from fumbles. And it's you scratch your head a little bit and say, why are they so good at one and not the other? Well, I mean, you know, it is kind of a different skill a little bit. I mean, with you know, interceptions, it has more to do with coverage and reading quarterbacks and jumping on routes and those kind of things that mostly your defensive backs are doing. And of course, the Packers have had their fair share of good defensive backs over the year, from, you know, the now departed Charles Woodson and Nick Collins recently, but, you know, still Tremont Williams, Casey Hayward been doing their thing in the Packers secondary, and they're not alone. Sam Shields, etc. But as far as it, you know, forcing fumbles go, hasn't really happened. You know, 2 years ago, coming into last season, the focus was on tackling and, you know, how poor they were at just fundamental tackling, and offensive players would break tackles on the Packers. And they seemed to get better in that department last season. You know, maybe not great, but it, you know, much improved at least. And now this is an area they still have to improve in Green Bay, is forcing the fumbles, creating the fumbles. And, you know, I think that's been a little bit of a weakness of the linebacker position in general in Green Bay. Not to say that defensive backs can't force fumbles, not to say that defensive linemen can't force fumbles, but linebackers typically, in general, seem to be the players most around the football. They're the guys, you know, the defensive linemen are swallowing up the blockers up front, leaving especially the inside linebackers to, you know, be the first to the ball carrier, things like that, you know, kind of playing at the second level of the defense where a lot of times the, you know, ball carriers can get to. And, you know, that it's just not something the Packers' inside linebackers in particular have done all that much is force fumbles. That's always kind of been a weakness of, you know, A.J. Hawk in particular and his personal weaknesses. And people say, you know, he's not a big play type of linebacker, and he hasn't been in Green Bay. He's not the kind of guy who forces fumbles, who gets sacks, who grabs interceptions. I mean, he's done all those things in the past to a small extent, but compared to good starting linebackers in the NFL, good starting inside linebackers, you know, the Pro Bowl types, A.J. Hawk just doesn't do it at that level. Not to say he's a poor player, but again, you know, there's always kind of these expectations that have not been met with A.J. Hawk. Not playing like the fifth overall draft choice or what you'd expect from getting the fifth overall draft choice in the NFL draft. So, you know, he hasn't done that. And, you know, even, you know, Desmond Bishop has kind of been thought as the best inside linebacker on the Packers roster. Even when he was healthy, he wasn't a guy who forced a lot of fumbles or anything. You know, Brad Jones being new last year, he didn't force a lot of fumbles. You know, it's got to come from everyone. It's got to come from all angles, and it just hasn't been happening in Green Bay. And, you know, the defensive backs and defensive linemen got to do their part too. And you know, Clay Matthews, I would think, you know, he's one of the guys you worry about the least on the Packers defense. I wish I had his statistics in front of me to see how well Clay Matthews does at forcing fumbles. You know, I know he's done it occasionally from time to time, but I'm not sure how often he's done. Of course, you'll remember during the Packers Super Bowl XLV, Clay Matthews and Ryan Pickett kind of teaming up together. Remember when they kind of met Rashard Mendenhall in the backfield and forced the fumble on him? Desmond Bishop ended up recovering it. You know, big moment in that game. And you know, that was a big fumble. But, you know, since that time, since the Super Bowl season, since 2010, kind of been saying that hasn't happened. So good to see the emphasis on it in practice here during OTAs in Green Bay. Apparently, you know, according to the reports I've seen, the coaches are harping on it, you know, getting on the players for getting after the ball. They're trying to strip the backs whenever they carry the football. And apparently they're going so far as even incomplete passes, you know, going and jumping on the football, you know, just in case, you know, or, you know, pretending it is a fumble, whether they're doing that or, you know, it's maybe it's one of those controversial plays. Did he catch it and drop it? Or, you know, I don't know what exactly they're trying to accomplish there. But, I like the emphasis. It's not something the Packers have done a lot. So it's good to see at least, in Green Bay. I'm just kind of going off on tangents here this morning a little bit, kind of summing up the things that happened at Packers OTA yesterday. Organized team activities. Sam Shields still missing from practice. You know, kind of like Johnny Jolly, neither of them are present, although for much different reasons. Johnny Jolly going through, you know, some sort of legal process, whereas Sam Shields simply, you know, not there due to being unsigned, a restricted free agent, but, you know, it's not as if he's
negotiating with other teams anymore. The only team he can sign with during the 2013 season is the Green Bay Packers. He's just simply not accepted his tender offer or, come to terms on a long-term contract extension with the Packers worth more than their tender offer. So, that's where the Packers and Sam Shields are at in Green Bay. How long will it take to come to an agreement? After this week, there's only two more weeks left of off-season practices. Given my doubts, I would say you're not going to see Sam Shields back before training camp. I'm optimistic something will get done between now and late July when training camp starts by that time. But as far as taking part in the off-season program for the Packers, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. It just seems to be like as long as Sam Shields is unsigned, he doesn't have to show up at mandatory minicamp. He can work out where he wants. I know he's a native of Florida originally. I don't know if that's where he lives now, but wouldn't surprise me if he is. And if he wants to stay and work out in sunny Florida, I could kind of see that being attractive, appealing to Sam Shields. So, in the meantime, Casey Hayward's getting a lot of reps at the cornerback position in Green Bay. Not just him, but all the young cornerbacks, Micah Hyde, the newly drafted one. I suppose I wanted to wrap things up today. I want to touch on one last topic here, and that is at the center position in Green Bay. Don Barclay in particular, and I talked about this here with Mike Conklin to begin our show a little bit here, and I just wanted to elaborate on that. Last week I had written an article, a blog post on the center position in Green Bay saying, cross your fingers, Evan Dietrich Smith doesn't get hurt. And then dissecting the backup center plan because there's really not a whole clear backup center plan in Green Bay. Evan Dietrich Smith comes into the season as the obvious starter and really the only option as the Packers starter for 2013. But the long-term future is kind of in doubt, because Evan Dietrich Smith is only under contract for one season. He'll be an unrestricted free agent after this year. And as we talked about with Mike Conklin, the Packers have a whole lot of other free agent options out there, including B.J. Raji, Sam Shields, Morgan Burnett, that all those contracts got to be done as well. So where Evan Dietrich Smith fits in the priority list, not really sure right now. But on top of that, Evan Dietrich Smith just really, hasn't been a fantastic performer, since coming into Green Bay. He's been an okay performer. His effort has been admirable at times. But as far as being a dominating guy, a dominating offensive lineman, you don't see that. I wouldn't say a whole lot of centers are dominating out there. They get the job done. A lot of centers are undersized, especially compared to the nose tackles they sometimes go against. So that's why I say it's tough to be dominating as a center. But still, Evan Dietrich Smith, he's done okay. He did well late last season as kind of Jeff Saturday's replacement. Do you remember they made that move last year and, kind of during the playoffs that happened? And, the Packers running game as a result kind of got going late in the year and those things were all, good. And so there's a lot to, be optimistic about as far as Evan Dietrich Smith goes. But, there are other issues, though. There are other problems beyond him, and there's no clear-cut backup plan. What if all of a sudden Evan Dietrich Smith suffers a freak injury don't really know what's going to happen. And we talked about this on the last episode of Railbird Central. There's Greg Van Roten, who kind of, you know, spent some time learning the center position last year, but, you know, he's largely an untested guy. He's never taken a snap at center during a game, even so much as a preseason game. Packers have a couple undrafted rookies from last year, Garth Gerhardt, from this year, Patrick Lewis. But again, they're undrafted rookies. They're long shots. It would be really nice if they do the job and you know, kind of come forward and make themselves known and make themselves heard. But as far as expecting them to do that, that's a lot to expect out of undrafted rookies. And so that kind of brings us to yesterday, the report that Don Barclay is taking snaps at center. We talked about with Mike, Don Barclay played some at right tackle last year, you know, when Brian Bulaga went down and did a good job and kind of, you know, just like Evan Dietrich Smith came on late in the season and helped that running game out a bit. And you know, there's some optimism there that the Packers might have found something in Don Barclay that's pretty impressive. And no doubt about it. I mean, I think he's a guy who's earned himself the spot on the roster. And, you know, not to say he's going to be given a spot once again, but, you know, there's a lot to like about Don Barclay. And, you know, I thought he'd be in the mix for the right tackle job. And, you know, he's also last year was a backup at guard as well, even though, you know, they stayed fairly healthy at guard. And I don't think they needed him much, if at all, last year at that position. But to see he's taken some snaps at center, and, you know, maybe it's just a thing where, you know, during the off season they're trying to train him to be versatile, trying to, you know, prepare for an emergency situation should it arise. I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, given the uncertainty of the center position in Green Bay, given the untested status of the backup options the Packers have beyond Evan Dietrich Smith, it makes sense that maybe they give Don Barclay a shot at this, you know, being the backup this year and perhaps even the starter long term beyond 2013. That's far in the future. But if it's going to happen, though, You got to think they're going to have to do more than just give him a couple snaps here and there. They would have to really commit to, making him the backup or, you know, giving him some significant time because, you know, by the time training camp comes around, you know, they got to prepare somebody to be the backup, you know, the emergency just in case, you know, in case the worst case scenario comes about in terms of Evan Dietrich Smith getting hurt, suffers a freak injury, whatever, somebody's got to step in and start. And you know, that's no easy job. You know, you're being the guy who delivers Aaron Rodgers the football every single play of the game. You're the guy who's, you know, charged with protecting the highest paid player in the NFL up the middle. The Packers got to have some sort of plan there. And maybe, you know, Greg Van Roten, I think, is kind of the top option, you know, option A right now at backup center. But, he's got a long way to go. And so does everybody else on the Packers roster to prove they're worthy of that spot. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up here on a Wednesday morning edition of Railbird Central. Here as we get back after the Memorial Day weekend, get back into the swing of things here. We'll be back again on Friday morning, so make sure to check in then, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks to Mike Conklin of Packerpedia.com for joining us this morning. Make sure to go check out his website, read the articles that are over there. Thanks to our live blog director, Jamie Jors, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. Again, see you on Friday, folks. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go. Thank you.
here we go.